Father God, we come to you and we praise your name because we want to support Nicole. We want to be there for her as her church family, God. That we be there for her to lean on, to encourage, that we can encourage her. That we see her as already, God, you've been doing great things through her life and the relationships with students and others in this church. Thank you. I pray for protection upon her life. I pray, God, that you continue to use her in mighty, mighty ways, bold ways. Lord, I pray today that we lean into your word. We see what you have for us today. That, God, you have so much more for us in our relationships with others. You have so much more for us, God, than we sometimes see on the surface. So, Lord, let your Spirit speak through your text today of your word into our lives. May the truth pierce our hearts. May we be changed today because of your word and your truth, not our feelings. Because, Father, if we follow our feelings, we will be hurt every time. So, Father, we give you all the glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, I'm excited to be here today as we celebrate things like baptism and we come to worship. Even as things going on in our world today and our country are struggling, those that are hurting today, we still have a God that is worthy of our worship. And I can't think of a better subject today than to talk about a relationship that is so important in all of our lives. When we think about all the things that we are dealing with in the world, all the things that some of us in this place today are personally dealing with in our lives, or maybe we know someone that is, there's not a more important thing and a better subject to talk about. I don't know about you, but did any of you ever used to watch the TV show called Friends? Come on now. That was a popular show. Like it was probably the most watched television show in the 90s. Some of the people still watch it today on Netflix and other things. But that show was popular not because of necessarily, obviously, its subject matter, or not necessarily because of a lot of things there, even though there are a lot of things we can remember, like Thanksgiving pants that Joey had. That's one that I do that every year still. Thanksgiving, I put on my Thanksgiving pants, right? So that I can eat. Somebody got it. But it wasn't because of the subject matter. It became the most popular show in the 90s because it showed us the picture of what friendship is really all about. Friendship in its ugliest, friendship in its toughest times. And when I think about the word friends, when I think about that one word, it perfectly describes the story of two men that we're going to look at today. You see, we are in this series about King David, and last week we looked at how David had just pulled off one of the greatest upsets of all time in history. Here he was, this 19-year-old shepherd boy who couldn't even wear the uniform of his own army. Why? Because he'd never once been in battle. He had never carried a sword. He had never done any of these things. Yet here he was, this 19-year-old shepherd boy, facing this giant that's almost 10 feet tall, and he kills him with the throw of one rock and a slingshot. And it was at that very moment that God used him. And at the same moment, he became the most popular person of Israel. He became a celebrity overnight. He immediately became part of the king's court. Because remember, King Saul was afraid to even fight the giant, but he found this one man who would. Now, happiness and harmony did not last long for David. Because King Saul, the very one who helped find him to kill the giant, got eat up with jealousy. It was very, very, very tough. He was so eaten up with jealousy. Here, this new kid in town was getting all the love. And even though the people respected the king, David was loved. David tried to, if you will, build this bridge over this jealousy to King Saul, but the fire of jealousy in Saul's heart would just burn it down. And it was obvious that if the king turned against David because of the love, so the whole entire nation would. And so here, David was about to face a trial that was bigger than Goliath. And it was in that moment, before he faced this, that God brought David a person in his life. The one thing that he was going to desperately need, a friend. If you are here today and you can honestly say that you truly have a true, as we would say, true deep blue friend, can I just tell you, you are rich today? If you truly have a friend that loves you unconditionally, that loves you in all of your flaws, doesn't judge you, you are rich. Because let me say, not everyone has a friend. Not everyone has a friend, but you know what? Everyone needs one. I've learned that though through life you can make a lot of acquaintances, you don't make very many true friends. And with that, I do really believe next to family, there is not a more important part of your life than the relationship that you have with your friends. And so today we're going to learn about this story where God sent a man by the name of Jonathan into David's life. And this was interesting because Jonathan was the son of the king. David and Jonathan is going to teach us this morning, I hope you see some value, the virtue, the victory that comes from having and being a true friend. I want to show you this morning why they had the greatest friendship in history, and because they also teach us how to be a true friend, how to find a true friend. If you have your Bibles with me, we're going to be in 1 Samuel 18, a chapter later than last week. We're going to begin in verse 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. If not, it'll be on the screen and also in the YouVersion Bible app. It says this in verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul. Remember, he had just killed the giant. Things are great. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. The first thing I want to show you this morning about friendship is, first of all, this. You need to love your friends better than you love yourself. One of the reasons that I think friendships are struggling in our culture today, one of the reasons that I think many of us, if we're honest in this place, we would say, man, I don't know that I've got true friends, is that for some of us, the reason that we don't, or at least maybe we struggle, is that many times we don't truly love others more than ourselves. And some of us aren't loving our friends better than ourselves. Because I love this. When you look at this one verse, the verse says Jonathan became one in spirit with David. If you look at the New American Standard, it says it this way. It says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. In other words, literally translated, this verse says, the soul of Jonathan was chained with the soul of David. These are what you would call, they're like soul brothers. There is a connection that is unexplainable. Jonathan had the highest love for another person. He had the highest love for David that one person could ever have for another one, because it says Jonathan loved him as himself. So simply, Jonathan loved David just as much as he loved Jonathan. And I got to thinking about that, and this is what I came to, and get this, and I think it's so cool as you really read this and what it shows us, and it's this, is do you realize that before you can really love others, you have to love yourself? And I think there are a lot of people today that are struggling with that. You don't love yourself. You look in the mirror, you struggle with what you look like. You look in the mirror, you don't like your career. You don't like what you have. You're unhappy with stuff. And you're like, man, I'm having a hard time making friends because you don't love yourself. Can I first tell you that, man, that is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. It's to look at all this stuff or look in that mirror and be so unhappy with the creation that God has made in you. And you need to love yourself. And don't get it wrong. I'm not saying love your mistakes, your choices, sin, those things. No, of course not. We should be convicted of those things. But love yourself. Because you can't love others if you don't love yourself. See, Jonathan proved how much he loved David. You're like, what do you mean, Russ? How? What are you talking about? Well, think about it. Doesn't it make sense that Jonathan would have been just as equally jealous as his own father of David? Because being the son of Saul, the king, he was the rightful heir to the throne, right? He was supposed to be the next king, but it was never to be. He showed that his love and his friendship with David was what? It was unconditional. In a sense, he was saying, hey, you know what? I know you're going to take this place. You're going to take my place as king of the nation. But here's the deal. I'm going to be your friend for life. And what that shows us is, listen, there are no conditions to true friendship. There are no conditions to true friendship. Listen to me. Write this down. If someone is your friend only when they are not your true friends. If someone is your friend only here or only there or only when this is going on or only when this happens, they're not your true friends. There are to be no conditions on true friendship. And can I just say that some of us are putting conditions on our friendships? I will only hang out with you when you do this. We have to be careful of that, because what is happening in friendships, what's happening in the kingdom of God, especially within the church, is as we put conditions on that friendship, we are creating silos. And that's not what the church is to be about. And that's not what Christians are to be about. Just because someone connects with you, just because someone looks more like you, just because maybe you think they're funny or you think whatever, doesn't mean you should put conditions on that person and not be their friend. That's exactly why cliques happen. And the enemy would love nothing more than to have a bunch of cliques in the church. Because if we got a bunch of cliques in the church, then we're all, ooh, look at our little holy group. We better be careful of that. I got a lot to go. I got to keep going. So here you got this friendship that was more than just emotional, too. There was a depthness to it that was spiritual, because it went far deeper than just this ordinary acquaintance. I know this because when you read in the next few verses, look with me at verses 2 through 4. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan took off the robe that he was wearing, and he gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. So here's David, here's Jonathan. They make a covenant with one another to seal their friendship in a sense. And we've talked about this before. A covenant is not just a commitment, right? A covenant is not just signing the dotted line. We can all sign the dotted line in anything, but it's when you pledge your life to the other person, that's when it becomes a covenant. You can sign a contract with someone and never have a personal relationship with that person who enters into that contract with you. That's why marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract, because it's meant to seal the relationship between a man and a woman. Now, remember also, as we say this about the covenant was so important because Jonathan was next in line to be king. And so in this incredible display of commitment, what does he do? He gives David his robe, which was the symbol of both his status as prince and future role as king. Do you see the humility and the love? He also gives him the armor, his bow, which symbolized his role as commander-in-chief of all the armies. And then he gave David his belt, which was the chief ornament of a soldier, worn only by the wealthy and by royalty, which represented all that he could have had as king. And yet he is giving it up for his friend David, and he gives it to him. What would it look like in the church today? And I'm not wanting you to take off your clothes. What would it look like today if we bowed in that kind of reverence to our friends? Because we love them that much. You see, in those acts, Jonathan gave to David the single most important thing a friend can ever give to the other, and it's loyalty. It's true loyalty. Loyalty is hard to come by today in our culture. One week we may feel like we're someone's best friend, the next week we're not anymore. Why? You see, when it comes to friendship, quality is more important than quantity. A real friend is loyal. The best definition of a real friend I've ever read is this: a friend is someone who will walk into your house when the whole world just walked out on you. How many of us would do that? How many of us would do that for a brother or sister in this room? A real friend is in your corner when you are cornered. I think the important lesson to always remember as we talk about friendship and we talk about loyalty, you cannot choose who your loyal friends will be. And that's what's hard. I think for many of us, we struggle with that. Because we're not in control of that. You can't choose who your royal friends will be, but you can choose to be a loyal friend. That's what you can control. You cannot choose to be a friend. You cannot choose to have a friend. You can choose to be a friend. Your friends will choose to be your friends, and the ones you choose to stick by you no matter what, those are the ones who are truly true friends in your life. And so I say to you, be loving your friends better than yourself. Be loving your friends better than yourself. Very quickly, the next thing we got to do is we have to lift our friends up. You need to be lifting your friends up. When you look here in the next few chapters, the rest of chapter 18 and also in chapter 19, also in chapter 20, you're going to find that there are, I think, six different times that King Saul tries to kill David. Six times. And through it, you've got Jonathan who's trying to help him out all the time through it. Going against his father, going against his king because he loved David that much. Of course, because he's trying to be killed, David becomes this fugitive on the run. I encourage you to read these chapters. It's pretty interesting. But as you kind of get to the end of chapter 20, you see Jonathan saves David's life by informing him that Saul was definitely intending to kill him. And the secret meeting happens, and they have this incredibly moving departure scene because they both knew that they may not ever see each other again. I want to read it with you, verses 41 and 42 of chapter 20. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times. And with his face to the ground, then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" And then David left and Jonathan went back to the town. It was kind of a goodbye. It was, yeah, the king is after you. And as God would have it, luckily they did see each other again. Only the next time they saw each other, David was on the run still from King Saul. And he was out in the wilderness like an animal being hunted. And you read in chapter 23, look at this, verse 14. David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Zephah. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. And while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziphah, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. He helped him find strength in God. Underline that. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. So David is being sought after. At any moment, Saul or one of his men, they're going to spring up and possibly kill him. And most likely, Jonathan will also for being a traitor. But what does Jonathan do? He encourages his friend. He lifts him up. He, at his lowest moment, gives him encouragement. What's the point here? Is that real friends lift each other up. Real friends aren't jealous of each other. I think we're living in a culture where even our own friendships, we're like, psh, don't know how they could afford that. Your own friend. Wonder what they did to get that job. Your own friend. Real friends build each other up. They bring out the best in each other. They lift each other up. They motivate each other to be better and to do better. That's why it says in Proverbs 12:26, look at this. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. We need friends who do this in our lives. That's why we talk with students all the time and children. It's important to be careful who you run with. It's important of who you have as your friends. Why is it important to be careful with the kind of friends you choose? Because you will become like the people you spend time with. It happens every year in student ministry. You see the students become who they hang with. We need to be careful of that. It's so much easier to be pulled down by people than it is to be lifted up by people. I give you an illustration. If I was to ask one of you to come up here and stand with me by the podium this morning, and you decided to skip our four steps here, and I reached down to try to help you, is it harder for me to pull you up or easier for you to pull me down? It's easier for you to pull me down because of gravity. And it's no different in our real lives. And so many people ask me the question, well, how do you evaluate friends? I'll give you three questions today. This will hopefully apply, be applicable for you today and help you. And as you think about the friendships that you currently have, I want you to think about this, asking yourself these three questions. One, do they bring out the best in me or the worst? Do they bring out the best in me or the worst in me? Second question, am I better for being around them or am I worse for being around them? Third question, do they motivate me to do more or to do less? Three really good questions. They bring out the best in me. Am I better for being around them or do they motivate me to do more or do less? I think it was Henry Ford who said, "My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me." Friends should be lifting each other up. They should be making us better. Because that's exactly what Jonathan was doing in David's life. Even though the king was trying to kill him, he was doing everything he could because he loved him that much. I want to show you another thing. This is also what friends should do. Lead your friends closer to God. Not only is it important of who we're doing life with and who we're friends with, but are they truly leading us closer to God? You go back and look at the first verse of 1 Samuel 18 that we started with, and it says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Now, here's the crazy thing. In all of Scripture, this is the first time we see this. We don't get any. It's just right here, boom. And so for all we know, this was the very first time Jonathan and David had ever met. And so the million-dollar question is what made them one in spirit that fast? Oh, well, they must have just connected. They were just like, they saw each other. It was like, woo, friends for life. What was it? What made them one in spirit so quickly? Well, think about what just happened. You've got Jonathan had just seen David step out on this battlefield where no one else would step out, fight a giant that no one else would fight, and he did it for one reason. He did not do it for his bravery. He did not do it because of his courage. You know why he did it? It's because he saw David's incredible trust in God. And Jonathan saw something in David that, believe it or not, Jonathan had in his own heart. How do we know? I'm glad you asked. Four chapters earlier, chapter 14, there's a story of how Jonathan had decided to, he had decided the Philistines, this Goliath, this whole bullying issue with Israel had gone on long enough and something had to be done. So he goes against the Philistines by himself. He goes with the same spirit that David had. And he says this in verse 6. Jonathan said to this young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of this uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Who gave the victory then? Again, God did. God gave Jonathan a great victory that day, and by himself, he killed 20 Philistines that day himself. And so here's the point. Jonathan had the same heart for God and the same trust in God that David did, and that's why he knit them together. So for you, here's what we learned, that here's the secret of true friendship that really lasts. The secret to true friendship is not finding someone like yourself. It's not finding someone who has the same likes that you like. It's not having someone that has the same house that you have. It's not even the same school that your kids run together with. It's none of those things. The secret to friendship is having a heart for God and finding other people who have the same heart as that. That's why David and Jonathan loved others so much. They loved each other because they loved God so much. And David was a more godly man for having Jonathan in his life. And Jonathan was a more godly man for having David in his life. Why? Because they loved each other more than they loved themselves. They lifted each other up and they led each other closer to God. As I thought about this in my own life, it made me grateful because I realized, first of all, I'm married to my best friend. Amanda has given and done things in my life that I wouldn't have enough hours and days to stand up here and tell you about. I know that she has put up with a lot of things in ministry, put up a lot of nonsense from me, but she's always been this. And not just her in my life. I've had a couple of close friends that have that I've shared the good, the bad, and the ugly with in my life, and they've always been there. They've proven time and again they love me better than themselves. They've proven time and again that they've always lifted me up, and they've always helped me to grow closer to God. And for that, I am blessed. And I thank God for them in my life. You need to be careful who you choose as your closest friends. Those that will draw you closer to God, not farther away from God. You need to be with people who will increase your potential to serve God. Because, man, I believe we're in a culture and a time where we have so many friends, that we have such influence from so many different people, that it causes us to second guess some things. It causes us to make decisions like, well, I should go do that, but my friend wants me to go do that, so I'll just do that. That sounds more fun. We need to have friends that are encouraging us to serve God, not decrease our potential to serve God. I know some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, man, I wish I had a Jonathan in my life. And I wish I could give you some magic formula today to give you that exactly. But here's what I do know. You can have a Jonathan in your life if you will be a Jonathan in your life. And I know that that is not easy. It's a lot easier for me to stand up here and say it. But if you will be a Jonathan in your life, I think you will find that friendship will become easier to you. So I just want to challenge you in this. Over the next few weeks, I want to challenge you to find someone in your life to be that Jonathan. I don't want this to be weird or nothing like that. I want you to seriously be looking at, is there someone that God has put in your life that you can be a Jonathan to? And do it. Really take steps to do it. And it might be a person that God is putting on your heart that y'all don't even have a connection yet. That's even better. And maybe, just maybe, it might be a person who doesn't know the Lord. It might just be a person that God wants you to connect with that doesn't know the Lord so that you can lead them to Him. And so be asking God to bring someone into your life that you could make a friend forever. Now and eternally forever. I love at the end of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Y'all seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Yes. The very end of that movie, George Bailey's in trouble because obviously his uncle has misplaced $8,000. They're looking to him to find it, whatever. And his wife, Mary, goes all over town. She's asking all these people that they're in need. They need help. And all of a sudden, people, as they heard about it, they didn't ask questions. They wanted to help. In the closing scene, people go into George Bailey's living room and they're piling money on the table. People from all over town bringing money. Sam Wainwright, the lifelong friend, sends the telegram promising whatever needs to help to happen to cover that missing money, he will make sure it happens. And there's George and he's standing there and it's all kind of beginning to sink in. As it's sinking in, he looks over in the top of the pile of money and there's a book. And he reaches over and he takes that book and he opens the cover. And on the inside of the cover is a handwritten note. And it's from Clarence the Angel, if you remember. And he wrote, "No man is a failure who has friends." No man is a failure who has friends. Friendship is a great gift from God. And the question is will we cherish it enough to care for them? Will we cherish it enough that we will work to be a good friend? I promise you, God works in simple ways, and somewhere, perhaps today, a person near you is in need of a faithful friend. My heart is that no one should ever walk into a church and not be loved. No one should ever walk into a church and not find someone who cares about them. I want to challenge you, if you answer God's call to be that friend, it might be you who changes the world. I love that Scripture also reminds us in Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We know from Scripture that the one true friend that sticks closer than any person ever can, and it's Jesus Christ. He wants to be your best friend. He is the one above everyone who can unconditionally lift you higher, who can lift you higher than you could ever go in your power, who can lead you to lift others, and who can lead you to spend eternity with him. Do you know him? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Very, very simply this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally today, if he's not your best friend, I want to invite you this morning to give your life to him. I want to invite you to come and receive his love and forgiveness. I promise you, we need him and we need his forgiveness and his love so that we can see things with a proper perspective in our lives. But more than all of that, we need him because we need a Savior. We need to be forgiven of our sin. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to him, I want to encourage you to come. Come make him Lord of your life today. Surrender your heart to him. Maybe there are others in this place and you are a believer, but today you're not loving your friends better than yourself. Your calendar, your things are all so important, and those are important things. Don't mishear me. But man, you're relationally, you're not caring about your friends. Maybe you're not lifting your friends up. And if you're honest in your flesh, maybe you're even jealous of them or you envy them. Maybe you're not bringing your friends closer to God. If you're honest in this place, you're like, yeah, I'm a Christ follower, but man, when I go out with my friends, man, it's like it's on in a different direction. I'm not leading them closer to God. Your actions, your words, you're leading them away. So I just want to ask, as I ask all those questions, who will confess that in here today? Who will be bold enough to step out to this altar right in your seat? You'll confess that to God today. Maybe someone needs a Jonathan today. Will you be that friend to someone? Come for prayer. We'll have some prayer counselors down front. Come to this altar for prayer. However God leads, respond in this place today. Father God, I thank you for the story of Jonathan David. I thank you for what you did in knitting them together as friends. And Father, may we understand friendship is important, and we got to do our part in that. I pray for relationships in this church. I pray for relationships outside of this church because that's how we reach more folks for you, Lord Jesus. May we not be embarrassed by you. May we not be embarrassed by our church. May we not be any of those things, God. May we give as you have given us. I pray we respond all over this place today in honesty. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. You come. Respond all over this place. You come.